You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and it's time to talk about Main Street Eats with Sue Balcom.
Sue joins us from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, once a week to talk about food. Sue, thanks as always.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
We've got a big holiday coming up, St. Patrick's Day. What does that mean for Main Street Eats?
Well, it means there's a lot of Northern European, Norwegians, and Germans who want to be Irish for a day, I guess.
Yeah, oh, shoot.
Well, the Vikings were everywhere, Sue. The Vikings were everywhere.
And this is not this has nothing to do with anything about food, but we're watching a Netflix series called Norsemen right now, which is like the Laurel and Hardy of today. It is like very base humor, but it's really kind of funny. I didn't know anything about the Vikings. I don't know much about the Irish, except I heard they like to golf. But as a German, we always talk about sauerkraut when we talk about cabbage. And so I thought maybe we need to address cabbage as cabbage, and there's no better time to do that except in conjunction with St. Patrick's Day, because there are people who eat corned beef and cabbage on St. Pat's Day.
What is the history behind that? Why did those two things go together?
Well, let's start out with who St. Patrick was.
Okay.
He was the son of a wealthy family, and he had a really weird name, like Mewen Socket or something. And he was kidnapped when he was 16 and taken to Ireland as a slave. But he escaped, and apparently God told him to run from his captors, where a boat would be waiting to take him back to Scotland. Okay. So he goes back to Scotland, and he became a priest. And he used the name Patrick. And so he was out there apostolizing the Celtics, you know, trying to turn them into Catholics. And I don't think he ever really was, whatever the word is, he wasn't ordained as a priest, or he wasn't given that title. So when you get down to it, the whole thing is kind of a farce, because they don't eat corned beef and cabbage over there on St. Patrick's Day. Sorry to burst your bubble. Stick with the beer. That's probably as Irish as we're going to get.
So how did this get going?
You know what? I have no idea. It is sort of probably based on immigration. You know, like when my family came over here, they brought half the traditions with them and then added another half. And then we had a wholly different sort of thing. So they think that the Irish came over here, and maybe it was the availability of certain items at that time of year. You know, cabbage is a storage vegetable, and so it would last into the spring, into March, and probably be what was the last of the food that they had from their gardens. And I'm only speculating on that. So if there's anybody out there who's truly an Irish immigrant, let me know, okay? They were less expensive foods, of course.
Well, corned beef would be a way to kind of keep it around a little longer, wouldn't it?
Right. I believe that that is a preservation technique for beef also. And we're talking about a time before electricity. And I learned when I did some research that they did keep meat all winter long. And they did it, you know, by salting and smoking. And they kept it cold for as long as possible in the winter months. But look at this winter. Like, where would you be keeping your meat now? And it's like been a very, very mild winter with no snow to bury anything in.
The Irish famously had this potato famine, which is one of the reasons many of them immigrated, left the country, and they come to the United States, and, you know, we have potatoes, but cabbage. Let's talk about cabbage.
Oh, the humble cabbage. And we missed World Cabbage Day was actually in February. And cabbage is a French word, or a rendition of a French word meaning head. So naturally, when we grow cabbages, we refer to them as heads. I actually have a picture of me with a cabbage in front of my face. It was so big, it looked like my head. I love growing cabbage. I'll be the first to admit. It's healthy, very healthy for you. It's a cruciferous vegetable like kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. And there's about 100 different types of cabbage growing in the world.
Wow.
Naturally, I research this because I love making sauerkraut. So I actually grow one of the heirloom varieties called Late Flat Dutch. So rather than growing in a symmetrical round head, it kind of grows like a flat, more of a flat pancake shape head. And then I grow one that looks like a Dr. Seuss cabbage that has like, it looks like a teardrop. And they're huge. And they're beautiful. And they make great sauerkraut.
Besides making sauerkraut or boiling the cabbage, there are other ways to prepare it. And do these different varieties suggest a better way?
Actually, cabbage stir fried is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it is. If you've never done that, you use a little oil when you're stir frying it. You can put sesame or caraway seed in there if you like a little extra flavor. And then I sprinkle it with vinegar before I serve it. And it's kind of a sweet and sour stir fry. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
And it comes in other colors, you know, like red cabbage. Then there's dark green varieties. Then there's the Napa California cabbages and the Chinese cabbages. And they all have a little bit different texture. So you'll just have to experiment with them a little bit. When I was in high school, I actually did a science fair project on testing the pH of things using red cabbage as an indicator because it dyes your hands really red if you stick your hands in there. So
I have a New York Times subscription, and my favorite part about it is the food section. It's amazing. And just recently, they've been extolling the virtues of cabbage as the main dish, not a side dish, but like roasted cabbage or a cabbage that has a lot of substance to it. Of course, it does anyway. But putting it on the middle of the plate as opposed to next to it.
What? You've never had pigs in the blanket? That traditional German-Russian stuffed-up cabbage leaf with rice and hamburger, that makes it a main dish in my eyes.
I think it's still the hamburger there that's the main dish. Maybe I'm wrong, but it sounds to me, Doug, like you're talking about cabbage more as a vegetarian main dish, or am I just totally adding that in myself?
That's correct, but it supposedly, when it's prepared in certain ways, has a sort of meaty satisfaction to it.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah, kind of like you'd slice cauliflower and roast it. You could probably slice cabbage and roast it like that, and it'd be like a slab of well, not protein. Let's forget about that. A slab of extra vitamin-filled whatever. And there's always coleslaw. You know, we can't leave that out of the mix. Coleslaw on top of like fish tacos or a fish burger or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just amazing. And it, like I said, it's just really, really good for you. And it's so easy to grow. So, you know, you've got all these beginning gardeners out there. That is something that you should at least try one or two heads
of.
You
do need quite a bit of space to grow cabbage though, right?
Well, that's true. True, but I do know people who plant things like a little closer together than they're supposed to. And what happens is like there's a farmer I knew that planted two in a hole and then he would harvest one earlier than the other and then let the other one grow. And it's a cold hardy plant. So you can plant it early, early in the spring. As soon as your ground can be worked, the one thing about cabbage that probably is the most ickiest part of growing it is that those little white moths find their way over to your
moths.
Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so you need to protect your cabbage from those moths. Or I know people who will plant a row of cabbage and then they'll surround it with a row of mustard greens. And those like flea beetles and moths and things, they are attracted to the easier meal. It's a little less, you know, cabbage is a sturdy kind of plant, you know, like it has hardy leaves. And so they'll go and eat the lighter weight mustard leaves and kind of leave your cabbage alone. You can cover them with nylon stockings. Oh, my gosh. And I just remembered this. There was, in my, you know, talking to people about food, there are people who remember that their moms used to sprinkle flour on the cabbages to keep these worms off from eating the cabbage or the moths from laying the eggs. And I thought, wow, that is like so organic. I think I can do that. Well, so a little further research, they mixed Paris green in with that flour.
Oh,
and that
no.
Was, that was the way.
Arsenic? That was,
oh, gosh.
Bad idea.
So that was kind of their medium for sprinkling this terrible. I think it's outlawed. I don't think you could buy Paris green anywhere. Jeez. In today's market. So don't do the flour thing. It doesn't work. And if you do cover your cabbage, like sometimes I'll low tunnel my cabbages with Ag Bond or Remay fabric that you could buy it at your farm store. But you want to make sure that you do not trap the butterflies underneath that covering, because then you're never going to get a cabbage leaf that's not eaten into. And, you know, if you're totally organic, you just leave them in the ground until after the frost. And that usually takes care of the worms, except when you cut them up, you'll need to remove some of those. You know, and if you don't mind doing that, I mean, that's easy
that's
enough.
A special
like with
treat.
Broccoli and stuff, if you put that in a really heavily salted water in the sink, those worms don't like the salt and they'll float to the top. That way, you know, I mean, they're organic. They deserve to live, don't they?
Depends on how much of your produce they're eating, right?
Oh, God. You always got to plan extra just for the evil deer out there. You know, they get to eat their fill and then you get your share and it's all good, you know, like that's why we fence our gardens and we try to keep the pests away. Because rather than eat one whole cabbage, a deer will eat a bite out of this one and then he'll move down the row and eat a bite out of the next one.
They like
one.
The best bite of everything.
Yes, they're pretty obnoxious little beasts.
Oh, but they're so cute.
So anyway, you can find corned beef in your local grocery store kind of probably the whole month of March and then add a little cabbage in whatever way you want and pretend you're Irish for a day.
Tip of my hat to you. We check in with Sue Balcombe once a week for Main Street Eats. Always a pleasure, Sue.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.